everybody. Welcome back to the Mini PC Podcast. This is Big Talk Little Machines. This is episode 19. Today we've got Brian and Dor and myself, Eric Ardini, in the house. We got a full cast. We missed a week, I think, last week or something. Because I was on the road for 2 weeks straight. So I know where I recorded 2 weeks ago out of a hotel room. So I missed last week. So how are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I had a little spinning from all the preparations to uplift our family and from one domicile to the next.
Oh, you moved?
Yeah, we're trying. We're getting ready to move. We're selling the old property here and in the process of passing papers on the other house.
So you found a new place then?
Yes, sir.
Nice. How is it? Is it in the same area or totally different area? Or?
Actually, it's about 15 minutes down the road, so it's not too bad. Different town. Moving from the city to the town. I'm not really a big city person.
Oh, cool.
So I like the the rustic log cabin appeal.
Nice. Yes, I recognize that.
Yeah. Now I'll be able to have campfires in my backyard.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, if you need some firewood, I have 3 piles right now, so just swing over whenever you need some.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. Yeah, we had a holiday weekend here in the States, and I tell you right now, after holiday weekend, the first thing I need a day off to rest, because it kind of beat me up. My son's oldest son's birthday was on Memorial Day itself, and on his birthday, I had to take him to the outpatient clinic for a ear infection that made him like freak out and get really mad and cry from the pain.
Oh man,
that's no fun.
Not at all.
But I bet you could see some good things coming into the ER on Memorial Day weekend, though. Anything good?
Well, that was the thing. We didn't go to the ER. We went to like the outpatient, immediate care, urgent care kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
We were in the door, seen, had our prescription, and were out the door in less than 20 minutes.
Nice.
I could not believe how fast it was.
That's cool. Wow. Because they bill by the hour, so you should pay less than half. That's good.
No, they don't bill by the hour. Oh.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It's always the same fee, but the only thing I can think is, I mean, my logic is it must have been a lull, because if ever those places are going to be busy, it's with people drunk, trying to barbecue, you know, mix. Can't be good.
Yeah.
But apparently we hit like the sweet spot of time where it was nice and quiet.
Did you arrive like at 20 to 5, possibly?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I was just guessing maybe they closed like 20 minutes after you arrived or something.
Oh, no. We were there at, like, noon.
Oh, okay. No, that's cool. I don't get that kind of service anywhere here. I know that.
Hmm.
Hey. I just know I wasn't expecting it. Then we had to go, right back to work, quote-unquote, Tuesday. And unfortunately, where I work, at least, Eric, it's a state office building, not where we do massive amounts of nonstop work, but always on a short week, they expect 5 days' worth of work in 4 days.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
Yeah, so I was gone for a week straight, a week and 1 day exactly. So I came back on Friday. Some people might say, you might as well just take the Friday off because then you're going into the 3 day weekend. And like, I just had to at least go into my desk and see that pile, after being gone from Wednesday to Wednesday. I had to go in on Friday and look at it.
Could you even see your desk?
No, but I did get a lot of work done Friday. It was kind of slow in there, so. And I'm so glad I did that because I needed to get caught up on a lot of things, and I haven't and then this whole week went through and I still haven't gotten back to making a report on the things that I learned while I was out of state and like turning expenses reports in and stuff. I just I'm still catching up from you pay for it. You can't just take a week off and you pay for it for about a month, really. I mean, your work does not get done unless you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's okay. Yeah, it was a good trip. Omaha, Nebraska, if anybody is from Omaha or going to Omaha, beautiful town. Much cleaner and nicer and more of a city than I had anticipated. I didn't expect it to be nearly as big or cool. I think a lot of that has to do with the amount of millionaires that are in Omaha. There's more millionaires per capita in that town than anywhere else in the country.
Really?
Yeah, it's the home of Berkshire Hathaway, and that company with Warren Buffett has made a lot of people there millionaires, and the town shows it.
Huh.
But a good time, good city. I think you'd enjoy Theodore. It was fun. There's some craft beers, too.
Well, I mean, I just mentioned this to Ghetto Geek the other day. Every town tries to tout that it has some kind of fountain of youth of beer brewing kind of thing. And I appreciate every city believing they're special. My mama told me I was special. Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm special, but I would be willing to partake in the beverages and find out myself.
I couldn't tell you the name of the brewery or if it's even from Omaha itself, but I'm pretty sure it is. I think it was called Alestorm. And that was a really good one. Had baseballs on the can. Shout out to them. That was probably the best one of the ones I tried.
Very cool. Very cool. I don't even know if we have any emails, Eric.
Think so either. I'm not sure.
I think we might, but really quick, I want to give a quick update on my Pi Top experience, because it's been now, you know, well over a solid week of me using it like a machine.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Kind of thing. Okay. One, I posted on Google+ and Twitter how I was happy with the Pi Top, showed some pictures of it. And one of the pictures I showed, and I said also in my tweet how happy I was with it. I said, by the way, it also looks like I broke a hinge. 20 minutes later, private DM from Pi Top insisting I contact their support and get it replaced. I said, look, I'll get it replaced when I get the money to replace it. They followed up with a quick nonsense. Customer support is our number one priority. Contact us. Don't worry about it. So I contacted them and I said to them, again, this was my fault, completely my fault. There was not an error in build quality. It wasn't because it, you know, just broke. I believe it was because I dropped my backpack. And when I get the money, I'll just buy it myself. They said, okay, no problem. And then 2 days later, email me, do me a favor. Can you click this link, fill out this form, and can you PayPal? It's $15. And my logic is it's for shipping, because there's no way this thing only costs $15. Because what it is the whole bottom part of the laptop. So right. It's the hood is the lid and the keyboard, lid and the screen. The second part is the keyboard and the touchpad. And underneath is the base and the battery. So they asked for $15 toward shipping, which I'm more than happy to pay. So they're giving me what has to be at least a $40, $50 part for $15 just to try to make sure that I'm happy. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and you just threw that out on Google+, and they scraped it enough to see themselves show up on there?
Well, I put it on Twitter, and I don't think I hashtagged it. I think I just said Pi Top. I don't think I hashtagged it. And I just said how I liked it, how it's working well, blah, 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 blah. But I'll tell you guys right now, here's the gimmick. No other mini PC can I get working right in it. I'm still getting the purple pink screen, which they said they would look into, see if they can find out what's going on. So I'm using the Raspberry Pi 3 in it. Raspberry Pi 3 is clearly not as powerful as the Odroid C2, but I'm getting a very, very good near desktop experience. But here's the real kicker. I turn it on as soon as I get into the office. I turn it off about 8 hours later when I leave. It's never off the entire day. The screen might go dim from inactivity during meetings and talking, or I'm doing other work on my Windows computer. But it's on all day, answering emails, replying to emails, looking at meetings, doing internet research on that device. At the end of the day, I still have over typically 60 to 70% battery left.
That's
after almost 8 hours of usage.
That's one thing to be said for a small processor and sorry, low power computer. That's a positive.
Yeah, so I literally for the last 2 days did not charge it. And I used it for 2 complete days of work. And when I left, it was still above like 25, 30% battery. So that to me is fantastic. To me, if I can get like I just did 2 full days without having to worry and stress about constantly finding a charger, coming home, remembering I have to charge it, to me, that's a big, big success. And that's my experience so far with this Pi Top. I highly encourage people, if they want a portable, low power consumption, long battery usage device, give it a serious look. And I'm not just saying that because they were really nice to me and they're sending me replacement parts at a fraction of the price, because they didn't have to do that. I'm more than willing to pay full price. Their customer support is by far stellar. But the product itself, I will say, is also really good. $300 is a bit expensive, but what other $300 laptop type device will you get that is truly the only laptop form factor device that is truly upgradable? I can upgrade the processor, the RAM, the NIC, the USB, the video output, I can upgrade everything. Where in a laptop, you typically can upgrade next to nothing. So it, to me, it's about perspective and how you look at it. And I'll say, when I look at it like that, I'm more than happy with paying the price I paid for it.
I think with a laptop, you can, you know, can upgrade RAM and hard drive and things like that. But you, I've got a Dell tablet that I think I might have got one update as far as OS system and security updates, and they're done. I mean, it's a little over a year now, but it hasn't had an update for at least 8 months. So they supported it for about 5 months and forgot about it. And I'm sure if I put anything on Google Plus or even a direct email to them, they're not going to respond to me the way that those guys did to you for your issue on that one. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, does that take just like is it similar to a laptop power supply that charges that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you have your normal brick, and then you have your normal barrel connector type form factor. I'm sure it's a different voltage or wattage than your average laptop, but it's very similar to a normal laptop power brick and plug.
And when you were putting it together, you could see the battery in there. Is it like a, mm-hmm. I mean, is it like a flat battery that like lays in there, like a kind of like an iPad, or is it more of like a laptop battery?
It's a non-user serviceable flat battery in the whole base of the bottom.
Okay.
So the whole bottom of the laptop, it basically like 3/4 of it is nothing but a flat battery that's in it. And I want to say it's 8,000 milliamp, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Which isn't great. 8,000 is not a huge battery. Yeah, but even with the Raspberry Pi 3, Wi-Fi all day, screen brightness is mid. I'm not pushing it all the way down. I'm getting crazy, as far as I'm concerned, crazy battery life.
And that, so what size screen?
10.8, I believe, or 11.
That's decent. Yeah, that's nice.
I'm definitely liking it. I didn't see any emails jumping out at me.
I was looking through them, and Brian, did you see any emails that you don't think we've read yet in there at all? I see a wired wireless network discussions from, I'm not sure if we read that or not. I don't know. I say we skip the emails today and we'll come back to them. We'll listen back and see if we already talked about these.
Well, I think we lost Brian's connection, but I did just forward you one here from Daryl to your email address.
Super. Okay. Daryl Voss, thanks for the email. It says, Dor, I'm sorry. I mean, I tell you what, I love summer, and summer's great, and it's really hitting here because it's like 80s finally. But there's these cottonwood things, and they like, I don't know how to explain it. They're like these fuzzy things that fly around in the air. They look like cotton puffs, and they just fly around. Do you have those things, Dor?
Yeah, it's called asbestos, I think.
Yeah, no, these are not asbestos. There's a seed attached to these. These are natural occurring.
Oh yeah, but, well, then it's just, it almost looks like, if you're not looking directly at it, it might just be like, I don't want to say an illusion, but just something that flew
yeah,
by.
Yeah, it's like ghosts. Yeah. It's
And then when you look at it, you just see the little thing just quietly going by.
Okay, yeah. So we got real ones here that actually come out of some sort of plant, and it makes me cough. So I'm sorry if I keep coughing through this. I have taken like allergy medicine. I've tried to do everything for show prep to keep me from coughing, but I don't know. So, Dor, I haven't emailed in a while, but wanted to show you the soldering station that I bought a few years ago. It's the AOYUE, AOY 937 Plus, and it has served me well for the random light soldering that I do, maybe one or two projects a year. And he gives an Amazon link at the bottom of the email. It worked pretty well to replace the power button switch on a Galaxy S2. If you don't know, that's approximately 2.5 by 1.5 millimeter surface mount. I melted the first one, and it was my first time soldering something that small. Yeah, I can imagine. I've used it to solder wires for car projects and repair anything that I don't feel like replacing or throwing away. I've never had any problems with it, and if you want a soldering station instead of just an iron, I think it's a good one for only $60 on Amazon. The AOE 937 Plus Digital Soldering Station, ESD safe, and includes spare element. Updated version on Amazon. P.S. In response to the Mini PC show, 18 McLaren is a British auto company, and the F1 was the most expensive and fastest car in the world when it came out in the early 90s. I think it was $1.2 or $1.4 million U.S. money.
And he was right about that, because I went and looked it up, because for some reason I kept thinking like $300,000, and I don't know why. When I went and looked at it, the really, there was no quote unquote price for it. It was just how much people were paying for it, and it was around $1.4 million. But I will say, it's a real good looking car. So,
oh yeah,
you know, yeah, nice. Looking at this soldering station, honestly, I like the fact that it has like their little holder and it has a little sponge look like right there. It's where you can like wipe it off, which and it has a little roller built in right into it. This looks like a micro compact station.
I had a hot air station, and this, if you don't need the hot air blowing, which honestly, if you're not repairing iPads and iPods, that was all I ever really used it for, was for heating up glue. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's other uses for it, like heat shrink tubing and stuff like that. But I like the fact that it's got a spool holder for your solder on here. That's pretty fancy. So you don't always have to go digging for it and mess with unwinding it and things.
Yeah, and to me, that's nice. That means I can hopefully take the whole thing, and when I'm ready to use it in one shot, just put it right here next to me. Because that's the thing. I have my own area. I have my man cave. But I'm actually limited on space at any point in time because I have 4 computers running at any point in time. One for me, one for the live stream or the recording of the stream, one for monitoring of my network, and one for chat when we have it up and running. So I have 4 computers. It's not like I have, you know, square feet of free space to give up.
Yeah, you need mini PCs and mount them to a wall.
Well, that's the thing. It ain't the computers themselves taking up the space. It's the monitors. And I'm blind, so they can't be too far back.
I've never seen your setup. So do you have a wall right behind your monitors?
Right behind, yes. The desk I have is a desk me and my father-in-law built, literally 7 feet by 3 feet. So the wall is more than 3 feet from me.
Yeah, desk space is tough. I took the bot. I've got a fancy keyboard. It had like an extra pad on it for your armrests or palm rests, kind of pad underneath the keyboard. Taking that off added some space. It's hard to find. You almost got to make a separate place just for your soldering station and wrenching on computer stuff. Maybe a separate desk or a separate table aside.
Honestly, it'd be nice. Behind my curtain, I have a sofa. I'm begging the wife to let me get rid of somehow. I don't care because there's square footage. I could lift the curtain and have a desk back there for stuff, but you know, I can try. Okay, now we do have one more email that I also just forwarded you, Eric, from Dwayne.
Oh, okay. Dwayne Clark has a question. Says, I'm really enjoying the show. I'm up to episode 10, so I have a ways to go before catching up. 2 questions. Best wireless keyboard mouse touchpad for a mini. I heard Dor talk about this, but I do not remember which mini show it was on. It must have been 1 through 10. Also, I thought I caught a rant by Dor on Linux for the rest of us about Ubuntu Mate. The mini show motivated me to finally play with my Pi 2B. I'm running Ubuntu Mate, because I could, OwnCloud, CanBoard, and full lamp stack. Running headless sitting in the corner works great. You know, Windows has got to stop this. I've got some kid. I'm on a Windows computer right now, and I got some kid like trying to invite my son to chat on the Xbox One, and he won't leave me alone. And it's coming right through my computer, and it will not stop making noise. It's crazy. I love Microsoft.
Yeah, that's because Microsoft loves you.
How do I turn that off, Dor? Can I ask you how to turn that off in Microsoft Windows? Okay. Anyway,
you can. You can. Yeah. You hit the button, hello, Cortana, how do I turn off these annoying messages?
Yeah, I'm not going to. She wouldn't understand.
I know.
All right, back to Dwayne's email. I would like to hear how to harden my Pi or any mini router, firewall, cable modem, allowing me to expose it to the wild. That's the opposite. Keep up the great work. It's really appreciated. By the way, if you read this on the show, it'll be a week or so before I hear it. Thanks, Dwayne. Well... He might hear it sooner because we didn't have a show last week. So for you, okay. Dwayne. That's why we weren't here last week. So you could hear this sooner.
Right. I'm gonna have 3 links in the notes. All 3 of them are gonna be Amazon links to different keyboards. And because here's the thing, keyboard is a very personal choice. what's right for one person is not right for everyone. But I will put in my three most desirable keyboards, and I have all three of these. The first one is the Logitech K400. It's a much bigger, physical, bigger keyboard, but it's very nice, very easy to use, very long-lasting battery. Comes with a built-in, I believe, Bluetooth adapter, so when you plug it in, automatically works, no configuration needed. The gimmick about that one is on the top left-hand corner, there is a little mouse button. Yep. So which means with the right thumb, you can control the touchpad, move around. With the left hand, you can click the mouse. So it's very easy with two hands to move it around and use it without a lot of work, without a lot of, I don't want to say stress, but very easy to control. That's the first one in the notes. Okay, now the second one in the notes.
Yeah, well, I'd like to vouch for this one. I've got two of these in my house. I've used them, and this is not a new design for keyboard. They've had this thing out for at least 5 years, right, Tor? Yeah. This thing is just the workhorse of wireless keyboard touchpads. It's been nearly flawless since it came out, and I can't believe it's $47 on Amazon, though. That's a little excessive, but I don't remember paying that much for one. But
the one that I linked to here on line 177 or notes is only $29.
Oh, okay, good. That's better.
Because that's the thing. This was revved. Okay.
Oh, that the is old, a different one. Yeah.
Well, it's the exact same model. It's just revved. The old version was basically one color. The new version, the mouse button in the top left is emphasized because honestly some people don't see it, but also it has a yellow line on the mouse pad reminding you that you can scroll by just hitting the bottom of the mouse pad or the right side of the trackpad. You can scroll.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, $30. You can get it on sale typically for around 20-ish. By far one of the best purchases I bought.
Now that
but
one,
it's definitely bigger.
They changed the keys on it a little bit too. The mouse pad's up there, but they took the power button away for your PC, and then they also changed. It used to have a home, music, and lock your PC button, and now it's got volume up and down and mute.
Now the power button is a function button. The home is also a function button. That totally makes sense, though.
They took the best parts of it and moved them over. That makes a lot more sense because you want the volume up and down to be easier. That's great.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Because right now my mute volume down, volume up is F10, 11, and 12. Right. And I don't like how that's there. This is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Hey, and the best thing about this keyboard is it's very easy to do actual long form typing on it. Now, if you just need a keyboard for home theater type purposes, there's two other ones in here. I'm not sure why both of these. I'm fixing the tag in there. For some reason, there was extra tag information. Okay, the first one is called the RII i8. This is a very easy to use two-handed keyboard, like almost like Xbox. Like your two thumbs can be arrow keys and HTPC type keys. Here for skip forward, volume up, volume down kind of thing. There's also buttons right in the middle for easy home, left click, search, and the very middle is a trackpad. This was actually a kind of easy one to use, almost like BlackBerry-esque typing on it. So this was really good. This one is around $21 as well. It's a little bit pricey. You can find it on sale. This one, the other big plus, the RII i8 is a backlit keyboard, so you can easily see everything in the dark. Many people tout this keyboard as being the best. Now the third one is the one that I have and that I use very frequently and I like a lot. It is the RII Mini X1 is what it's called, and this is very small. You're not going to do any long form typing on it. The mouse pad on the side is very responsive, very easy to use. This is the one that I use for down and dirty, typing out things I have to type and just like putting it down. But this one I was able to get on sale, I believe, for like $13, $12. Now it's like $18. But all three of them to me are really good choices. They all have different use cases, different purposes, but I think they're all really good.
That i8 one, the one you said right before that last one, that one has, you can get it in 2.4 gig radio frequency or Bluetooth, either way. It also comes in a ton of different colors, too, if you want to customize it, the case of it.
I didn't even notice that.
It's blue, blue, white, green, red, and yellow.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the blue.
Now, the Bluetooth one is $6 more, though. But that's a really nice looking keyboard. I like that one. I've never played with it, but looks like it'd be really good.
Yeah, that one is Martin's favorite small form factor keyboard. Now that was just the keyboard question. The second one, yes, you did hear a rant about Ubuntu Mate because it's Ubuntu Mate. I almost don't understand. I'm old. I'm gray. I almost don't understand people like it's like what's his name? The guy who played Ben-Hur. Charlton Heston.
Okay.
Talking about guns back in the 90s, saying you won't take this gun from my cold dead hand.
Okay.
That's what I feel like people using Ubuntu Mate. People who use Ubuntu Mate will not let go of the past. I almost enjoy letting go of the past. I like more modern desktops like GNOME or KDE, or when I need something light, I go with Awesome, because Awesome is probably 5 times lighter than Mate or anything else. It also isn't fully featured. If I want features and I want functionality, I want full modern look and feel functionality, not something that looks like something from the late 90s. So no, I'm not a fan of Mate whatsoever. And everything I loaded on mini PC wise seems like it breaks after a couple weeks. So I'm never loading it again until I hear people talk about it working for months on end. And I'm going to keep using stuff like Diet Pie or Armbian on my mini computers or Raspbian just because I get better results.
Hey, Brian, are you back now? I heard him cough.
I thought I did too.
Yeah. Well, I told him mine was doing that earlier, so I coughed and then it started working. And I actually heard him cough. So, Mate, is that just like a skin of the interface?
I'm very sorry. Sorry about that.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
That's okay. It took a cough to get you to come back.
I don't understand. I could see my audio. No one could hear me.
I was doing the same thing. I think maybe Google Hangouts has seasonal allergies too.
Yeah. So just really quick, everyone has their biases. I used to really talk down about KDE, but now with how an unbelievably light I'm seeing KDE performing, I'm gonna stop talking bad about them for a little bit. And I've actually used them a little bit, but as far as Mate is concerned, it's one of those things that has no use in my life ever.
So you think having the Mate on top of the Linux slows it down just by the added?
Doesn't slow it down. There's some configuration that they do that seems to constantly break on my computer after like a week or two of using it, and the browsers just will not work anymore. They stop working. Hey, it's possible it's me, but it's also possible I don't care that if it is me. So I move on.
So what did you say you're on? Stuff. Amazing now?
No, I'm using Diet Pie, or I'm using Armbian.
Oh.
It's a Debian Armbian custom distribution, and it's honestly really good. I've had nothing but really good success with it.
Yeah, I've been using Ubuntu Mate with GNS3. I was actually able to get GNS3 functioning. And I was able to turn the Raspberry Pi into a CCNA lab, which was kind of cool. So I have two Cisco 7200s, like the big honking core routers that you get. It's pretty cool. Hmm. I connected that to my my actual real world Cisco switches, and I'm able to telnet back and forth and pass all kind of routing protocols, and you wouldn't even tell the difference that it's a Raspberry Pi. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot. Yeah, I, like I said, I don't have any issues, but I'm not really working on the Raspberry Pi all the time. I'm usually telnetting into it from another device. So if it's kind of wonky or buggy, I probably wouldn't see any of those things, you know?
Right. Yeah, and now the last thing he was talking about was hardening his OSs. The dirty secret is on Linux. The secret to hardening your OSs is to start with as little as possible. And here's the logic. If you look at Windows Server 2003 versus Windows Server 2012, the difference is, by default on 2003, everything was turned on, everything was enabled, everything was greenlit from boot, from first boot. 2012, nothing is enabled, nothing is installed, nothing is turned on until you explicitly go turn it on. So on your Linux, the key to really good security is, have nothing installed you don't absolutely have to have. Number one, period, bar none. That's the biggest thing. The second thing is to see if you can incorporate fail to ban, F-A-I-L, the number, to B-A-N, in your system. If you can, what you can do, that will enable you to say, blacklist IP addresses from X country. So it won't even let them connect. Or, after 3 failed in attempts, block logins from that given IP for half an hour. So even if someone is able to attack you and try to log in, they're going to be very, very slow at doing it. Those are the two most important things to harden any Linux distribution, is to simply not have things installed you don't need. And if you can, try to get something like fail to ban up and running on your distribution. Always go for something focused. Also, if you know you want to run X out on the public, install something focused to do X. Don't take Ubuntu desktop, install it, and then spend the whole time reverse configuring that to do what you want it to do. If there's already a focused distribution for it, then use it.
Makes sense. That sounds like good advice for any computer, no matter what it's running.
Well, that's the thing. Everything that makes good sense on any operating system makes sense on Linux. So and that was one of the things I'm honestly learning in my old age. The more I'm learning about computers, the more I'm learning how much stuff I was dead wrong about in my youth. You always want something as stupid as possible, as incompetent as possible, and only put in the computer what you absolutely intend on having and using.
Yeah, I play too much to do that, but that sounds like a good idea.
Well, then you have a second computer just for play. Yeah, that's my logic.
That's a good theory. I'd like to say that I do that.
I guess that old saying, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it, doesn't really apply.
Yeah, I mess with stuff too much.
Actually, you just said it, Eric. You just didn't mean it.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, have you played with any of those?
I have. Yes. And the one that you sweared by, the K400. I use that as well too. And I don't remember picking it up for that much either. I think it was I'd say about $8 or $9 less. But I love it. I think it's great.
I'm kind of hoping one of mine breaks now, so I can get the new one. I like the looks of that one. And if that was backlit, man, for like an extra $10, so nice. But then the battery life probably wouldn't last as long, because it lasts forever.
Well, I don't mind changing out batteries every now and then, but just to get the backlit feature. But I agree with what you're saying, Dor. Keyboards are very personal. I like the full size keyboard feel, especially when I'm typing a document or I need to get an email out. But if it's something smaller than the 400, I tend to have problems with it, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, and the one thing I forgot, the Logitech K400 uses, I believe, AAA batteries?
I can look real quick.
It might be AA, but I think it's AAA batteries.
It's AA.
While the other two, it's AAK. Yep. While the other two smaller ones actually have built-in batteries that you charge. So if you like charging batteries, you want to opt for one of the other two. If you like having AA batteries, you can just swap out when you need them. Then that Logitech K400.
Yeah, it's 2 AA batteries.
Yeah, I'm up in the air on that. I mean, sometimes I think that I like to replace batteries, but I've got a little Bluetooth. I got 2 Bluetooth speakers. One is chargeable, and one takes batteries. And I find myself using the rechargeable one more because It's just easier. I didn't think it would be. I thought it would be easier just to replace batteries, but sometimes, you know, you don't want to go down the basement and find the battery box, make sure you got the right ones and all that stuff. And, you know, wash your hands because everything was green in there and all corroded. And it's like, let's just plug you into a USB. And the Bluetooth speaker I got, just it lasts forever on a charge. I don't even know how long it could last because it never really runs out.
Gotcha. Okay, I wasn't sure if there's anything else you guys wanted to talk about. I did want to say I did get an email confirmation saying my Pocket chip will be shipping here soon. That was an Indiegogo I got on maybe November or December, or no, a Kickstarter, back when the new screensavers, like maybe episode 4 or 5, he had the guy from Next, I think the company's Next, on his show. And that was when I first really found out about the chip and everything it was. And then I immediately went and backed them. So my Pocket chip will be in the mail here, hopefully soon. Hopefully I'll have it in less than 2 or 3 weeks. Then I can talk about it on the show.
Would you say that was like the $9 one?
It's the $9 computer, but it's the Pocket chip is the fully enclosed screen, touchscreen, keyboard, and it has the I/O pin to the very top of it. So you can basically use it like a pocket computer, but a gigantic pocket computer is what I'll say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's bigger. It's more closely resembles a clock that would be around Flava Flav's neck versus a pocket computer.
Oh, are you gonna get a chain? You could start a trend. You could wear that around your neck.
They already did it. Oh. The first thing that they showed was having it hanging around your neck to where you could have the screen display stuff at conferences, and then when you need it, you pick it up and use it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds like fun. Yeah,
could be.
I did throw one thing into the spreadsheet this week. It was of the BBC has their own mini PC now. And I'm not sure if they always get into consumer electronics or not. This is called, it's number 175. This is called the MicroBit. So it looks like it's really engineered towards children. And so we're probably going to be a lot of smart British kids from this if the BBC's going to, you know, be giving them out or selling them, you know, this cheap for $19 to all the schools. But basically it's a mini PC, but it's got sensors built into it. It's got a couple switches already soldered on it, and it's got a 5x5 LED display matrix on there that you can program it to, you know, you can program to, you know, flash your name on there and things like that, just to get kids kind of started into it. But they say it's about as powerful as the Raspberry Pi and it's got just a few more things.
I think this was as powerful as the Raspberry Pi 2.
Oh, okay.
Back when this was first announced, but the Raspberry Pi 3 came out much more powerful. The Raspberry Pi 3, to me, while it says it's made for kids programming, learning, what it's really made for is to be the core of a bigger project, if you will. Where this, the MicroBit, really seems heavily more towards education. And if I say that, I'm literally insulting the Raspberry Pi, because that was its goal when it first came out. And I'm not trying to insult it by saying that. This, I think, is doing a really good job. It's weird that these two British entities, because the Raspberry Pi is British and this is British, are in competition for the exact same audience, the exact same eyeballs. This has the formal stamp of BBC on it. I think this is going to get a lot of attention away from the Raspberry Pi, which honestly I don't like. But if it's successful, if it's good, if it's easy for kids to program with, then how can I be against it? It's good stuff.
And it seems like, okay, it says MicroBit is available from the manufacturer Element 14 in bulk, but other resellers have listings. Isn't Element 14, I believe, where I bought my first Raspberry Pi from? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's odd.
Well, I mean, Element 14 is the company for all of these little projects kind of thing. And it's good to have them as your official distributor, because you know you're going to get a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back, Brian. You didn't even have to cough this time. Did you have any links you liked, Brian? Okay. Well, hey, Dora, could we talk about the goal one?
We can, and honestly, we should, but I really don't know what to say about it. This is an Indiegogo thing And it's the kind of thing, when I look at it, I'm really not sure if it's going to become a real device, because it seems almost like it's promising too much, is what I want to say. I find it on our notes here. I would know we had it.
I'm sorry. It's, it is 171.
Yeah. What this is, what it bills itself as is the smallest computer, touchscreen computer you can fit in your pocket. Okay. Anything saying it's the smallest computer is a lie. Or it has an asterisk next to it with some sort of, you know, caveat. Okay. This is a 5-inch touchscreen computer, so it's smaller than most people's phones. Okay. Touchscreen smaller than people's phones, to me, is going to be less desirable to a lot of people. Phones have been getting bigger over time, not smaller. So they're going with a 5-inch, they say, HD IPS display. Okay. The early bird, $79 and $99, 2 or 4 gigs of RAM. Okay. Intel Atom Cherry Trail processor, 32 gig of internal flash storage, 5-inch, 720p screen. To me, that's not HD. They say HD.
1280 by 720. That's HD, I would say.
720. To me, it's only 720. To be HD, you got to have, you know, 1080.
Oh.
That's what it means.
I'm just glad it's not 640 by 480, you know, or something.
Well, true, true. But it also says it's 5-point multi-touch. On a 5-inch display, to touch it with 5 different entities is not easy. So
1 per inch.
But they have that. It is big enough, though, to have a full-size Ethernet. Now, they say Ethernet. I don't like the fact they say Ethernet. Is it 10-100 or is it gigabit?
It's,
I don't know.
It's 10-100 when they say Ethernet.
Right. And it is BGN Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 4.0, HDMI outport, one USB 3.0 port, which is good, 3 2.0 ports, micro USB, micro SD, 3.5 head jack, 26 milliamp battery, 2 hour battery.
Yes, yeah, so that's a kind of a killer there.
I know. And it has a magnetic box where you can put a hard drive in and connect to the device via magnet. So they're trying to be, I don't know, different enough to get some attention. I honestly don't like the form factor. I think the screen's a little bit too small, and I think the box is a little bit too fat.
Yeah, it looks like a hockey puck.
But it's cheap. But this is a deprecated processor. I don't know how much longer they're going to be making this, but the impression I get is not very much longer.
What kind of attention are they trying to draw? That's my question.
I don't know. Well, and, when they show you the offices and everything, it's literally nothing more than like a group of like 6 desks in an industrial building with a guy that has slightly better hair than myself, which, you know, not really saying much there.
But he's working on DNA, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, it's a good idea. A year ago, I could see myself getting giddy about this kind of thing and wanting one. But, you know, in the middle of 2016, I think this is kind of cool, but if not much more.
If they could have slid a Pico projector in the edge of it just for one more thing, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. And when we say goal one, that's, don't, you know, obviously it's spelled G-O-L-E one.
Obviously.
Yeah. In case you're searching for it right now, that'll help you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a Indiegogo, and one of the things they tout in one of their videos is how the other stuff really doesn't compare because they run Linux and we run Windows.
It does say it switches to Android easily, kind of like, you know, like your Remix.
Well, they can say that, but I don't see any examples of it when I look at any of the videos. It's always running Windows. Intel Android. Like the Asus Zenfones and stuff, and the tablets I've seen with Intel processors run really good, speed-wise. Battery-wise, they don't. And if this is only 2 hours with Windows, you might get 3 hours with Android, or you might get less than 2 hours with Android. I don't know.
Yeah. I like to see people trying, though.
Oh, yeah.
And they made 392% of their goal, so, you know, you might be able to pick one of these up later somewhere.
Well, and obviously somebody wants it, and they're running a successful Kickstarter, so more power to them, or a successful Indiegogo, so more power to them.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to say that sometimes people prefer the smell of skunk to flowers. Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. So
that's true. I don't know about the thing you said, if that's true, but everybody is different.
Everybody is different. Hey, did you guys check out line item 179?
Okay.
This is, I caught an email on this a while back, and I kind of caught it out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, what is that? Is that a PC on your back?
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah.
The main reason why I'm happy you brought this, Ryan, this is what I forgot to mention to Eric. I was talking to Eric last week or the week before on Android App Addicts. The failing, one of the huge failings about the modern implementation of VR is you have a face sucker strapped to your head, and 2 to 3 inches away from your head, you have a device with a screen, ports, processor, and battery in it, which makes it unbalanced. There's an extra weight on your head. To me, that's one of the reasons why I think VR is going to fail miserably in that form factor. Now, you have a light backpack that is your computer, and then all you have strapped to your head is a screen. I can see that being at least moderately successful, or maybe more successful than the standard quote-unquote VR approach. But yeah, HP and MSI look like they're making backpack computers.
And Gigabyte and Zotac also have their own backpacks coming too. So this is a thing. Yeah, that would be nice.
Now the MSI backpack, that looks like a regular backpack. That possibly could be a machine. But the HP Omen XPC backpack, that looks very sleek. I mean, that looks more like a those little water packs that you put on for when you're running or something. Very sleek, very profile-ish, you know, it just blends in.
Yeah, so you got in your backpack, you've got an Intel Core i5 or i7 processor, up to 32 gigs of RAM, and some sort of a dedicated graphics card, which they haven't announced what it is. I want to see the battery specs on this eventually too, and see how that all plays out. 90 minutes of VR gaming though is what they're saying, which to get you through a movie. I mean, when VR movies happen,
short movie. Well, and because here's the gimmick why I think this makes sense. If you're playing a game, especially if you're playing a soldier-type game, a first-person shooter-type game, in the game you're supposed to be wearing a backpack. To have the physical weight of a backpack on you actually has the chance to add to a game.
And if you got a rumble pack right in your kidney and you take a shot, man. Oh, yeah, that could be good.
I don't know about that, Eric. I don't know if I like that.
Or you're driving, driving a tank or something. It's like just kicking you right in the back. Or it could be like we could get like a virtual masseuse. And it could have I still have to disagree with you. VR is going to be it, man.
Not with the big face sucker and everything attached to that face sucker is everything. The battery, the processor, the RAM.
My backpack.
I don't.
Now, let me ask you guys.
I think that's going to fail miserably. Room, and I'm going to laugh, might not be especially when I listen to Android podcasts where they say say it's going to be a multi-billion-dollar industry.
You're not necessarily.
That's like John C. Dvorak saying the mouse has no future.
Depending on which direction you're going, with VR platform.
It didn't. Somebody must have had.
Wouldn't it be ideal if you can play in your backyard?
They decided to go all in with VR. These companies had to have seen this ahead of us.
These companies have been pushing it since the 80s with Nintendo and Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
Companies have been trying to have VR successful. I mean, if you honestly take step back, ever since the ViewMaster in the 70s, companies have wanted to shove this kind of stuff down our throats. They just didn't know how to do it.
If you scroll down and look at the pictures of the MSI backpack that they revealed, it's really got quite a bit of extra padding in the lower back area.
Well, something tells me it's not a light backpack.
It better be comfortable for a while, though.
It better be if you weren't aware for 90 minutes of action. Well, and the one thing that I think I'm not seeing, have you seen the circle treadmills that at least were a little bit popular like a year ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yes, yes.
Where there's like a ring around, there's like a giant hula hoop around your waist,
yep,
where you're almost like tied into it to where you can easily turn and pivot and run on a treadmill that will go any direction,
right,
but you're actually just in one area. Honestly, I think they're going to have a chance to be more successful than the idea of having everybody in America or in the world clearing out
a room
in their house.
I'm shocked I haven't seen more of that.
To virtual gameplay.
Yeah, and if you got to run in a first-person shooter to run over to that car to hide behind
that's,
it.
That's going to change a lot of game players.
Yeah, man. They thought Ingress did good for those guys. Wait till this. Now there is some other things coming out. Gigabyte, the Aorus X7 VR platform, they've got some wearables. They got a gun that you hold. They've got some steering wheels and things like that. A lot of, you know, for VR video game, for VR car driving games and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff coming around the corner here with those things.
Oh, anything to make a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These
well,
you're not in on VR, though.
Yeah, so, you know, you're onto something.
We can't do it.
I don't make hardware.
Thanks for my startup
here's
idea.
One of the things. Sure, I do think the cell phone manufacturing and the mini computing industry are all going to benefit from augmented reality, virtual reality, and next quote-unquote generation of gaming format.
I think it's
going to benefit us in our mini PC endeavors and hopefully drive down cost.
If you're strapping on an i7 with fans to the back and get 90 minutes of life, it's just a few years down the road where you'll be, you know, doing some sort of mini PC in a little armband or a very much smaller, lighter backpack. And or built into the top of your, you know, your baseball cap or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with games and graphic output, there's no doubt you're going to have a lot of heat. When I play high-end games on my phone, for even 5 minutes, I can feel through my case and everything the heat. So I can only imagine if you're running, you know, 4K content or, you know, higher definition content. I mean, even if Vulcan, even if all these things come to fruition and heavily optimize everything, you're still going to need a lot of power, which is going to mean a lot of heat.
What does this operate? What frequency does this operate on? Is it Wi-Fi spectrum?
A little bit yes, a little bit no, because then you got to make sure that you have at least semi-manicured backyard without trees, or bushes, or like potholes, or dog droppings.
Or a dog. Yeah. I mean, my dog likes to hang out by my feet. I have to step right on her. Oh, landmine. Nope, dog. Oh, that's a dog. Shoot.
Yeah, I can see almost the idea like LAN parties, but what they are, instead of like internet cafes, they're basically like taking an old gymnasium or something and sectioning it off and having people be able to do games in areas like that. I also see quadcopter drone racing going into, I'll just say this, places like Detroit could become a hotbed of drone racing because you go to abandoned areas where there's any kind of physical buildings and you can convert it into a really nice drone racing course where you can put on the headset and do the first-person view drone races and basically revive areas by doing that.
Yeah, especially an abandoned factory.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, and there's a lot of abandoned stuff up in that area. I'll just say that. Oh, I guarantee you, before a year from today, you will see it on network TV, more than likely weekly, or at least quarterly, because there's going to be a lot of the advertisement alone revenue you can put on a course on those things is going to drive the money for these things, because anybody can get $3,000 up and compete on world-class stages and events. But here's the whole kicker. If you follow it at all already, the champions are typically like sub-10 years old or sub-12 years old. That's because they have the eyesight, they have the reflexes, they don't understand the money that's going to happen if they lose, and they don't understand death. So, you know, these kids are really kicking butt. No problem. And like speaking about drones and stuff, line 164 in the notes, Make Magazine, Make Zine, using your Raspberry Pi, you can create a Wi-Fi drone disabler. So, like Steve Gibson had the dog gun. I can't remember what he called it now.
Yeah, the dog.
It was like the Sonic gun. I can't remember what it was called.
Was it T-somethingizer or something?
I can't remember. But now with the Raspberry Pi and a couple parts, you can make yourself a drone disabler. So basically, someone's annoying you with a drone. Instead of being at a Renaissance fair and throwing a spear at it, you can pull out your Raspberry Pi in a Pringles can kind of thing, point it at the drone, and watch the drone fall out of the sky. Yeah. Yeah, and this does not look hard to make, complex to make, or time-consuming to make. Very easy to make, in fact.
It was just called the Portable Dog Killer.
Yeah, PDK, Portable Dog Killer, which then he had to rename it because, you know, he said we can't call it Killer.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to see the PDF of the of what we're talking about, just go to grc.com and you can find a PDF of it there.
Yeah, his, you could basically point at birds way up in the sky and the birds would fall out of the sky. Wouldn't kill them, but it would definitely disrupt them to the point where they would fall. Where this, mine is much friendlier. Mine just takes down drones.
Yeah, that I'd be mad.
If it's your drone, yes. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Eric, I'm just going to say this. If your daughter just happened to look like someone from a White Snake video and the neighbor kept having his drone looking over the fence or what, you would use this,
good point.
And you would and you would shoot that thing down. Don't tell me you won't.
Yeah. I mean, I felt guilty for things my drone has seen before, and you know, where it should have been shot down. But I didn't know it until I got up there, and it wasn't like I was going to look for that. But I agree. That's a good call, Dor. I'll agree with that.
I'm just happy I don't have daughters.
Mine doesn't. My drone doesn't run on Wi-Fi though, so I would be immune to this Pi blaster.
I don't know about that.
Well, I might jam other frequencies that it's on, but
well, they're all types of radio frequencies. Yeah. There's only one way to find out.
You could probably fire up your remote control car and disrupt my drone though. Hey, Brian.
Yep.
We can hear you.
Yep. Okay. The other thing I wanted to throw in here was something I just saw today, line 177. Element 14, who we already mentioned once.
Hey, Brian.
Hey. Put out a PDF, which is a Raspberry Pi comparison chart. But the one thing I will say, all it is, of course, is just comparing Raspberry Pi Model A+, B+, Raspberry Pi 2 Model B, Raspberry 3 Model B. Nothing else is being compared. So if you want to see if you should upgrade your Raspberry Pi or what one Pi has over the other Pi, check this out.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
For some reason, though, there's no Pi 0 on this chart, which I thought they would have the Pi 0, but
right. They
don't, so they don't. But I thought this was a nice little handy-dandy comparison chart if you want to know the differences between all the Pis.
Yeah, that is a nice little chart, because I sometimes I wonder if I should get the 3 yet. But looking at the chart, I don't see why I need to yet. Because when I look at the chart, honestly, Dor, when I look at the chart, the chipset's a little different. Runs at 1.2 instead of 900 gig megahertz. That's it. And the max power, I guess.
Yeah, you're not going to hear me try to justify buying one or the other. I just bought one because it's new and I have to buy everything at least once.
Yeah, well, somebody has to.
Yeah. Okay, was there any other things you wanted to talk about?
I think this is a show. I think we'll have a lot next week when we get our computer straightened out. Brian will be back with more words.
Yeah. And just one thing I want to throw in your ear and throw in the listener's ear and Brian's ear. There's things out there called SNMP traps. SNMP. Then there's some monitoring stuff you can get. I'm going to get the names of them and have them ready for next week. If you guys out there know of any monitoring things that you want us to take a look at, let us know. The idea is you put this on your network, you point it at your Pi devices, and you can see from one centralized place your processor usage over time, your memory usage over time, your disk usage over time, your uptime, downtime, latency, all kinds of different stats. Because like, for instance, my Banana Pro, my logic is I don't want to put something on the Pro to monitor it because I don't want it to take up any of its processing power. So if I get something else and I set that up and point it at the device, it shouldn't use any of that processing cycle, and I should be able to tell over time what kind of performances I'm getting out of my devices.
This is definitely up Brian's alley, I'm sure. I'm sure he's probably played with these things.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got him mute. Could you unmute him?
No, okay. He has to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never heard of an SNMP trap, and I'll look into it before we... SNMP.
Yeah, Simple Networking Monitoring Protocol. It's actually an archaically old protocol, which means it has to use low bandwidth. It has to be old and stable. So everything will support it. It's just a question of installing the proper software and doing the basic configuration, which Richard Hughes said it literally took him 2 minutes, and he was able to monitor multiple devices on his network. And he said he could not believe how easy it was.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely good stuff. Yeah, so with that, Eric, I don't really have anything else.
All right. Well, hey, if anybody else listens to this podcast, and if they know anybody else who they think would enjoy it, please let them know about the show. Let them know about all the PodNuts shows. If you like listening to Door, you can always find them on Linux for the Rest of Us or Android App Addicts. And if you know any computer repair people or the friendly helper who fixes everybody in the family's computers or computer shop owners, definitely steer them towards PodNuts. And check out all the other shows on the PodNuts Network. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Audacity stop.